cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Bible will clear out all confusion.
Right.
Bible will clear out all doubt.
Right.
I wanted to preach from John chapter number 3 tonight, but I feel like this is where God wants me. I began reading in John chapter number 1. I wanted to get some context for the sermon tonight, or the message rather. I try not to preach sermons, but if it's a sermon, you can blame me. If it's a message, you can give God the glory, okay? Some of my best friends call them sermons, so I won't nitpick that too bad. And I wanted some context of this chapter we're going to be preaching from tonight, so I began in chapter 1, verse number 1, and got hung up in chapter number 3. Thought for sure God would have me go there tonight, but... thank God Jesus knows how to turn the lights on. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's word in John chapter number 7. The context of which we're reading these verses tonight is the light of the Spirit-filled life. Don't ever forget that. Verse number 37. The Bible said, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Father, as we bind your presence tonight, I love you, I bless you, I praise you, Lord, I submit to thee. Lord, I glorify you. Thank you for being good to me, kind to me, gracious, long-suffering, patient, and merciful. Father, you know my physical infirmities tonight, and I pray that you'd help me to be an overcomer. Lord, you gave Brother McVeigh grace to preach through his. Now, I'm not just jumping on a bandwagon. You know where I'm at physically tonight, and I pray that you'd help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, help these people. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I do want you to pray for me. I don't normally make mention of this. I'm not sick. But unless God touches me, I'm heading that way pretty quick. But I don't have the vomits. It's just the snot. And the older I get, the more aware I am. It's not necessarily how I say what needs to be said, but it's what I say.
Amen.
And so if God slows me down tonight, that'll probably hurt my feelings a little bit, but as long as I can get the message out,
yeah, amen, brother.
Okay, all right. John chapter number 7, verse number 37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I'm interested. Verse number 37, where the Bible said Jesus stood and cried. Now I'm going to preach on this simple subject tonight, the cry for the Spirit-filled life.
Amen.
It is not only the will of God for us to be saved, but it is God's will for us to be Spirit-filled.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit."
Amen.
He said, "I've come to give you life that you may have it more abundantly." That I come to give you life is that forgiving life, is that life that God gave us when he saved us, but that abundant life, that's the fullness life, and that's a life that God gives to those of us after we're saved, when we make, as we've already heard tonight, the conscious decision to let God have every bit of us, from the top of our head, the bottom of our feet, and we pour ourselves out and we get thirsty for God and let God fill us with his Spirit.
Yes. Amen. Now
let me say to you tonight, being Spirit filled is not a bunch of mystical jumbo gumbo. Matter of fact, the more I study the Bible, the Spirit filled life is more practical than it is anything. Being Spirit filled is not going to give you the ability to read people's hearts, and it's not going to give you the ability to read people's thoughts, but being Spirit-filled will help you to be faithful to God and faithful to the Bible and faithful to your church and faithful to your wife and faithful to your husband. Spirit-filled people are not perfect, but I tell you what a Spirit-filled man will do when he sins. He won't go too long without repenting.
That's right.
He won't go too long without asking God. So tonight, to forgive him. So tonight, I'm not necessarily asking you, are you saved? I'm asking you, have you ever been filled with the Spirit of God? Well, Brother Morgan, I don't know if I've ever been Spirit-filled. You probably haven't never been Spirit-filled. If you don't know, it's kind of like being saved. How do you know you're saved? God said I'm saved. The Bible said I'm saved. And when God gave me assurance, I didn't have to get it from mom and daddy and the preacher in the church. I got it from God and the Word of God. And when God fills somebody with the Holy Spirit, you won't have to ask what's going on.
Yeah, right.
You won't grow wings and be able to fly. You won't have some kind of mystical, magical power, but you'll be in the way that God wants you to be in. Jesus cried. I looked this morning. There are four times, and will not labor them, that Christ cried in the Word of God, in John particularly. Four times, chapter 7, verse number 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. Chapter number 11, verse number 43. Jesus cried, Lazarus came forth. Then John chapter number 12, Jesus is crying about his father again, a loud outcry. Now, this is an amazing setting that our chapter tonight. They're at the feast, the last day, the great day of the feast. It had been the Passover. What they would do on the last day is that they would take and go in there and they would remember what God did for the children of Israel and their wilderness wanderings and what God did in Canaan's land. And by the way, Canaan land ain't never been a type of heaven. It's always been a type of the Spirit-filled life. And neighbor, there won't be no giants in heaven, but those of us that want to walk with God, there'll be giants that we're going to have to face. Amen. But Jesus is here. And then what they would do, they would take a water pot of stone and fill the water. They'd take it up in there. And they would take that water and they'd pour it out, Pastor. And they would do that in memory of the rock that followed them through the wilderness, that gave them satisfying water. And neighbor, they would do that. And little did they know that that rock that followed the nation of Israel through the wilderness, that rock that gave them water, was sitting in the congregation in that place. Well, if anybody knew about that time, it'd have been Jesus. Because the Bible said that rock that followed them was Christ. And when he got in that midst, see, in the early part of the chapter, his brethren's telling him to go public. You ought to study that sometimes. They had not yet believed in him. And they're telling him, you need to go public. And what that was is trying to send him on a suicide mission. And brother, because they didn't believe in him. He said, no, y'all go on. My time ain't come yet. But when he gets up in here and they're pouring the water out and they're remembering that rock, Jesus, in his right time, stood up and cried.
Yeah.
If any man thirst.
Amen.
I mean, the Bible said in Psalms 42, as the heart panted back to the water, but so panted my soul after thee, O God. Right. May I ask you a question tonight, born again believer, are you thirsty for the presence of God?
Amen, brother. Good. Right.
Are you thirsty for his Bible? Are you thirsty for his power? Are you thirsty for his touch? Do you long for God to touch you? Well, if you don't, something's wrong with you. I'll never forget. I was preaching in the great state of Mississippi years ago. And my wife had just given birth to our twins, Brother Adam. And I took Elizabeth Ann, my daughter. She's 21 now. And I took her and she went with me and we drove 10 hours. And brother, when I got there, amen, I pulled up to the hotel and I told her, I said, honey, you stay right here in the truck, in your little car seat. I wasn't but 10, 15. 15 feet away from her at the most. And I said, I'm going to walk through the glass doors. I'm going to lock the truck. I got out of the truck. I locked it. You didn't have no key fob. There wasn't no pushing no button. You had to actually hit the lock on the truck I was driving. Some of y'all don't know what that is. Amen. That's not an antique. That's the way they ought to be. Say amen right there. And well, you ain't got to worry about changing it. Batteries. Amen. So you can't crank your car. But brother, I got out. I mean, I wasn't going to leave her necessarily unattended. Boy, I didn't take three steps. That little girl done jumped up out of her car seat. And boy, she's beating on the window screaming my name, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy! And brother, I tell you, I went and I had to get the keys, stick it in the hole, unlocked the door. She jumped on me, grabbed her little arms around my neck. She had little old blue eyes, was crying so hard, they're shooting tears out her eyes. I could feel the tears running down my neck. Finally, when I got her back and she regained her composure, I said, honey, what in the world's wrong with you? I was going to take three or four steps. I wasn't going to leave you. I said, did anybody mess with you? No, Daddy. Did anybody try to break my truck? No, Daddy. Daddy, what's wrong? Did you hurt yourself? No, Daddy. I said, why in the world are you crying like that? She said, Daddy, I'm just crying for you. All I wanted was you. Brother, I got up in the room that night and I got to lay in the bed. And I said, dear Jesus, would you please forgive me? That little girl wanted me that bad. Help me to want you as bad as she wanted me.
Yeah. Yeah.
How bad do you want God's touch and God's approval and God's... Don't look at me like I got a booger hanging out of my nose. This ain't false doctrine. This is Bible doctrine.
Right?
That's good.
To be spirit-filled, walk with God.
Amen.
Amen. The rock was there giving it four or five things. And I want to open the message like this. He said, in the last day, the great day, the last day, the great day of the feast, the last day, the great day, the last day, the big day. I'm begging every born again believer in this building tonight. Let this be the last day of your life that you ever go without being spirit-filled.
Amen.
Let this be the last day of your life. He said, the great day. Well, we don't keep our eyes on a great God and a great Bible and great things and great potential.
It's good.
Number one, tonight there's a standing invitation for believers to be spirit-filled. Do I wish I had a 10-step program to educate you. If you do these 10 things, you will automatically be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't. But I tell you what I do have. I've got a Bible.
Right.
It teaches us where to sell our lives out, surrender all, give it to God, let Jesus have every bit of us. It's yet to be seen what God could do with one person that's completely sold out to God. And brother, and I may, and I got this little phrase burning on my heart tonight. I may give you some personal illustrations. I might do it. I might not. The times that God has touched me and filled me. I may or I may not. But you cannot and I cannot. I remember the day starting out. I was hungry for God. I was driving Brother Allen. Three of us in the building, I know, had that experience before. And brother, four of us, yes. And Brother Chris has as well. And boy, that Brother Samuel, he'd tell us about, he said, you read this book about Fanny Crosby and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday. Boy, we'd read the books about the saints of God and days gone by. I'd hear the stories about how that others. And I'll never forget the night my brother got born again. On a Friday night of a four-week revival meeting, Matthew got under conviction and I invited him to come to church and he came, 17 years old, got on an altar and got saved. I knelt down beside him. And brother, when he got saved, they got my attention, trying to tell me. I was scared to move. I was in the presence of God. I was begging God to take mine away from me and give it to him. And finally, when I stood up and I said, I've got to be in heaven. I thought an angel was trying to get my attention. And I stood up to see Jesus. And it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't an angel. It was my brother. And he said, I just got saved.
Yeah.
But he said that God touched me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet.
Yeah.
He was hugging me and his tears running down my neck. And I said, let me go. Leave me alone. Go tell somebody else. And I took off around that church. I did something I'd never done before. I worshiped publicly. I shouted in front of everybody. I ran in front of everybody. I got my glory in front of everybody. I didn't care what they said. I didn't care what they thought. Well, if you're too ashamed to worship God in church, we ain't got to worry about you giving the gospel out on the streets. We ain't got to worry about you worshiping God in Walmart or nothing like that. And that night, God! And it just didn't come out of nowhere. I'd been reading my Bible and I'd been praying. I'd gone to the woods, taking a jug of water. I'd spending my nights in prayer. I'd spending my days in prayer. I'd reading chapter upon chapter upon chapter. And thirsty for God and hungry for God. And that night, God filled me.
Hey. Good.
It is. But I can't spend my whole message telling you my personal experience. I would read those others. Well, I caught myself trying to be somebody I wasn't.
Sure.
I caught myself trying to be D.L. Moody. I caught myself trying to be Brother Sammy Allen. I caught myself trying to be Brother Marion Atkins. We had the mannerisms. We'd talk like them, wouldn't we? Some of the guys didn't try to walk like Brother Sammy. Hurt his leg one day and he put a limp in it until the day he died. And all the brothers, they'd start limping like Brother Sammy. Just like that. But then hi, man! Oh, yes, friend!
Yeah.
Then they'd try to be like Brother Stenny Blue. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you, God. Allow me to be born in America. There's only one Brother Blue. There's only one Brother Sammy. And then they'd try to be Dr. Harold B. Seidler. And they'd go out in the woods and they'd scream and scream and scream till the voices got rough trying to be somebody they weren't. But oh, happy day. Happy day. And I thank God for hearing all that. But happy day when I learned my experience can't be yours. And I can't base mine off your experience. I've got to base what God did for me and what God's doing for me. And what God's going to do for me off the word of God.
Hey.
If your experience does not line up, don't let this word bother you. If it does, get right with God.
Right.
If your experience does not line up with the exposition of the scriptures,
right.
And your experience is not scriptural.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's the Bible way, Brother Tim. There's a stand. God. He invites us. He wants us to be spirit.
That's right.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Maybe the message will be self-explanatory enough. There's an invitation to be spirit. He said, if any man thirst, no matter where you're at in whatever stage of life you're in, you're going to have to be spirit filled. You want the only way to be a good husband is to be spirit filled.
That's right, brother. That's
only way to be a good wife is to be spirit filled.
Right.
Only way to be a good church member is to be spirit filled. I submit to you tonight that if everybody that is born of God in this church tonight would get spirit filled, we'd have a revival you wouldn't be able to shut down.
Right.
Couldn't shut her down.
Yeah.
Everybody in your congregation. I'll take it a step further than that. Every one of us preachers in the building, if we'd get filled with the Spirit
right.
of God,
right.
there ain't no telling what God would do with our ministry.
Amen. Right? Amen. You're right, preacher.
Hey, and I know I like my style of preaching. I don't have to tell you what it is. I like it loud. I like it fiery. I like it hot. I love the zeal. But a lot of times we get our eyes on a style.
Right.
Some of the most spirit-filled men I ever met in my life never raised their voice while they prayed. Never raised their voice while they preached. So don't you even think about mistaking the spirit-filled life for a style of preaching that we have.
Yeah, right.
I never heard you preach, Pastor, but I assume you're pretty fiery if you could get pretty fiery if you wanted to. Well, Zach, I've heard you. Our styles, neighbor. This is just the way God geared me up.
That's right.
And I appreciate you, Brother Tim. Not what you said. You said a few things I don't know. about that polish business. I don't know. I'll be praying about that, but you're not loud like I am. You don't run like I do. You're just being yourself. I appreciate that.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
There's a standing invitation to be Spirit-filled. What is hindering you from being Spirit-filled? It goes further than just being thirsty. I love water. I don't like ordering water in the restaurant because they get it all out of the toilet of the swimming pool water. And I'm not drinking swimming pool water. Okay. All right.
Yeah, you're right.
But the difference is, you know, I got this good water right here. It's wonderful. I can stand up and tell you how thirsty I am all day long. I can do it. You can tell me how thirsty you are. We get on the job and we get to work and, oh, I'm so thirsty. I'm just thirsty. Well, I'd love to hear you say it, but you're not going to make me believe you're thirsty till I see you drinking something.
Right.
That's it.
That's right.
You're right. Most people, I'm thirsty for God. No, you ain't!
Right.
The little shepherd in Psalms 23 said, my cup runneth over. Well, what in the world made his cup run over? Was it because it was a continual filling of that cup? Absolutely not! Shepherd would go to great stakes, great pain to make sure the sheep were taken care of. Those sheep, boy, they don't like running water. You're not going to catch it. You're not going to catch a little lamb or a sheep going up to the waterfall and taking a drink. They're skittish. They won't do it. Brother, but you get them beside some still water and they'll drink all day long. And sometimes the shepherd, he would get around some running water and he'd know the sheep wasn't going to drink it. So he would dig a trench out and he would let the water run to a little pool that he dug out himself. And sometimes they'd drink that. But then there'd be other times when the shepherd knew that the sheep wasn't going to drink the water, but they needed water and he couldn't dig a trench and he didn't have a pail, but he had a cup and he would take that cup and he'd fill it up. And one by one, those little sheep, you know what they'd do? They'd come to the shepherd and the shepherd would have that cup in his hand and that sheep would be right in the presence of the shepherd, and he'd bow his face down and he'd put his face in the cup, and as he drank and pushed his face in the cup, it would push the water out. And some of you wonder why your cup ain't running over. It's because you ain't never bowed in the presence of the shepherd and put your face in his cup, and then it runs over.
Right.
There's a standing invitation. You will never ever stand before God and accuse him of never making you this offer. Well, I'm not a preacher. Well, I'm not a deacon. I'm not a song leader.
Don't need to be.
I'm not a pastor's wife. My husband's not a preacher for the morning. We're not missionaries. Well, where in the Bible did it say you had to be a preacher to be Spirit-filled?
Right.
That's it.
Somebody give me a verse that says you've got to have a position. The only position you've got to have and the only qualification that you've got to meet is to be saved by God's grace and let God have every bit of you. Yeah. Did I not preach it last night that Hannah poured her soul out before the Lord?
Yeah.
And write this down in your Bible. What I'm fixing to say is so simple. Simple, I'm not going to call it profound, but it is. It has got my attention. I'm not going to stand up here and spend too much time telling you how much God talks to men, how much he don't. All I know to tell you is if God don't ever talk to you, you don't know what you're missing out on.
That's right. That's good. Right.
He spoke to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
He did. Oh, brother.
Amen.
You've got to get your, write this down somewhere in your Bible. If you are full of God, you can't be full of nothing else.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's
now this bottle is not 100% full, but it might as well be. May I use it for an illustration?
Sure.
Do we need to go? Well, Zach, do me a favor. Go back here and top that off. And y'all see how full that is? Ain't going to take half an ounce now, is it, Brother Zach? I mean, top it off now. Bring it on back up in here. Be careful. Don't spill, huh? That's precious water. Just hold it real good right there. You can't get no more in there, can you? So we're going to put the lid on. Okay. Now, I am by no way, an advocate of sinless perfection. Don't even think that.
Right.
Don't come to me and tell me you ain't sinned in a month. I got a Japanese word for that, son. Write this one down. Hage washi.
Yeah. Yep, sir.
All right. I want to know, is there anybody in the building? That can add anything to this bottle of water. Can you put any more water in?
Yes.
You're full of God?
Yes.
You ain't full of nothing else.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
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 You got to get third. There's a standing invitation. He's invited you.
That's right.
He's invited you. He's invited out. What an invitation.
Amen.
He stands up right in the middle of their tradition. Stands up right in the middle of their religion. Stands right up in the middle of every little program they've got.
Yeah.
And invites them to the greatest life that could ever be lived.
Amen.
Now, at the time, I did not realize that I was not the originator of this phrase. For years, I thought I was the first one that ever came up with what I'm... I was at the Horse Pasture River in Cassius, North Carolina, seeking God with all my heart, working, cutting trees, trimming trees, 26, 27 years ago. And I was crossing the bridge that we had across the Horse Pasture River. And I come up with this saying, what's done for self will pass, but what's done for Christ will last. Now, I thought I had been an original saying. Somebody else done crossed that bridge way before I ever done got to it. God spoke it to me anyways, Brother John. You can receive or reject the invitation to be spirit. I'm writing and dividing the word of truth tonight. We need spirit-filled believers. I promise you, I ain't going to preach long. There's a standing invitation to them. He said, and he cried. That's a strong declaration. You can't get no stronger than this. I mean, if I'd have went up in there and started crying like that, it wouldn't have been near. If John the Baptist even would have went, it wouldn't have been near. This is Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh. He has stood up and he's cried, and it's a strong declaration. It's a strong. It's a declaration that would bring us to three serious truths that must be magnified tonight. First of all, it's a self-examining declaration. If any man thirst, here's the question. Am I thirsty for God?
Come on.
Am I thirsty for God? Or am I just playing games?
Come on.
Amen.
Am I thirsty?
Uh-oh, brother.
Oh, am I, oh, wait a minute. Am I thirsty for the pulpit time?
Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Harold B. Siler. I don't matter what you think about Brother Siler. One of my heroes, I never met him, and I love to hear him preach.
Right.
He made this statement. He said, you're either running on an obsession or on obedience.
Right.
If you're I love to preach.
Yeah.
I ain't never been to a service in my life what I didn't want to. Even when I knew I wasn't preaching, there's something in here.
Right.
That's true.
Amen. I've never been to a funeral. I've never been to a wedding. I've never been to none of it. Oh, Lord, somebody let me preach.
Yeah.
There's two things that makes me really want to preach. That's them fired up good preachers. Man, they make me want to preach, don't they?
Yeah.
Them dead preachers make me want to preach.
Yeah.
Get the egg sucker out of the way. Let me preach.
Yeah.
That God, but I cannot be running on obsession versus obedience.
All right.
If I was going to run on obsession tonight, I'd tickle your ears.
Sure. Right.
I'd be taking selfies and promote myself on Facebook.
That's right. Right.
Amen. I'd be walking up to every pastor I come in contact with and saying, hey, brother, when are you going to have me come preach for you? I'd love to come over to that church and preach. Amen. But I want, just for a personal testimony, just so you know, I've been preaching 27 and a half years, and I preached for this man several times. I preached for you now the third time. I've been around Brother McVeigh. The rest of you don't know me. Brother Adam, I preached for you one time, and I have never asked anybody.
Amen.
If I can preach for you.
Amen.
That's why we're running on. So you see the shout. You hear about the wonderful rooms that we stay in. You hear about the, oh, we're going out to eat. We're going to eat barbecue tomorrow. Praise the Lord for barbecue. If you're a Jew, get offended at Tim McVeigh. He's the one that blew the building up anyways. Amen. And, sorry, was that a bad joke? Never mind. Brother Tim. And what am I preaching on? Oh, it's a strong. Hey, you see it all the food and the hotels. Oh, Brother Morgan, you mean you didn't have to go to work today? Oh, you see some glamour. Oh, you see some glitter. Oh, you see some pulpit. You don't see them on the nights up begging God for a word. You don't see them days when the phone rings and one of your best preacher friends has lost a wife or lost a child. Amen to God, you don't see us. Amen, when there ain't nobody looking. And the burdens that we bear and the pain your pastor goes through and the days alone. You don't see all that. And may I say the easiest part of being a preacher is what I'm doing right here tonight.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
You see all the people, they're bragging on Brother John's wife. And they're bragging on how that she's a godly woman. She loves the Lord. She loves the children. Boy, I'm Brother John, get up and brag on Sister Morgan. How the prayer warrior, she's praying for us right now.
Amen.
Rest assured. She is. Where in the world was you the days when they broke fellowship with us? And we're laying on the floor crying our eyes out. What in the world are we going to do next? Where was you at when the devil come knocking on the door trying to get one of our children? And a spirit-filled mama turned her plate upside down and said, I'm going to pray to get a hold of God. Go to a secret place and say, Lord, I need your help. And then she'd tell the devil, you can't have my youngin.
That's good.
You can't have her.
That's good, Bridget.
So we're looking at the glitter. We're looking at the gold. We're looking at the glamour.
Yeah.
Just get in it long enough.
Yeah, that's right.
So why God wants us to be spirit-filled, we wouldn't make it if we would.
That's right. Take it.
Thank you.
God, brother, God's got to break you. I'm trying to stay focused, but God's just got to break you.
Right.
I listened to a man the other day, stood and testified, raising support for a missionary. He was a police officer. I've known him since the early 90s. I was in the volunteer fire department with him as a teenage boy. I got saved. He got saved. He was fighting fire. And a roof fell in on him and a wall fell in on him. Hit him in the head, messed his head up. 50% of his life's in a wheelchair. 50% is his wife holding him up. He can walk, but something goes off, he just falls. He messed up his equilibrium and he just falls.
Right.
And he made a statement. He said, I don't know why God let this happen. But all I know to tell you people is God broke me, and he broke me perfectly.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Right. God.
God.
He didn't do that business, buddy. Hey, you can. Hey, the only way to make it is to be spirit-filled.
Shit.
You'd be on pills. You'd be sneaking back over to the liquor store. See, man, right there.
Right.
Not promoting that bunch of junk. It takes the fullness of God to make it and make it right.
Right.
Strong. It's self-examining. There'll be days in your life you're going to be looking and say, why in the world am I doing what I'm doing? Self-examination. Oh, can I just be honest with you? All the days I've said, you know what? I'm coming off the road and I'm going to go find me a church pastor and all my problems are going to go away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I knew the pastor would speak up right there. But yeah. How many times? Brother Chris Simpson, this coming Sunday is going to be his last Sunday at a wonderful church. So this ain't intended for you. But God's called him into evangelism. God's opened up a lot of doors for him. That's the call of God on his life. So he don't count this next little point. How many of you ever said, you know what, I'm going to quit pastoring. I'm just going to go start preaching meetings and go into evangelism. Them evangelists got it made.
Glory.
No. It's quiet right there, neighbor. Hey, look up in here. Why do we do? If we cannot quote the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, when the Apostle Paul said that in all things he might have the preeminence, if that is not our burning desire, if that is not our motive, then we are backslid as a billy goat at our best. Our motive and our purpose when we get filled with the Spirit of God is to exalt him and to glorify him and show Jesus the world. And I know God used Paul, and I know Paul used so many personal illustrations, but sometimes I get to talking about myself so much I get sick of me.
Right.
Self-examination.
That's it, bro.
Then we see if any man thirst, he said, let him come unto me. I like that word me. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me and you know whence I am. I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said. Verse 39, but this he spake of the Spirit. There's a sovereign God involved in this. It's the Trinity. This is not just an invitation from one part of the triune being of God. This is an invitation from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three of them in unity. And by the way, they've never been divided. They've never been disunified. They've always agreed. And the triune being of God sends a strong, but it's a serious declaration. This is, you can't get no more serious than this. It's vitally important that we be spirit filled.
Right.
Don't compare yourself to me. That's what brings so much confusion in our Baptist churches.
Right.
Hey, I poured a whole case of beer. And 2 gallons with me tonight. I got some. I want to know something. How many, raise your hand. Can I do this? We're not in the invitation. How many of you are saved and know it? Raise your hand. Raise your saved, born again, and know it. Right. How many of us had to pour a beer or liquor out when we got saved? Raise your hand. Anybody? There's 1, 2. Anybody else? We'll get about 4 of us out of about 35, 40 that says you're saved. So that means the rest of you didn't have to pour nothing out. You didn't have to flush nothing down the toilet.
Yeah, right.
Well, I did.
Amen.
Okay, look up in here real good. Quit comparing your testimony to mine.
That's right.
You ain't gonna do nothing but confusion. Well, I didn't get it like Brother John or Brother Vernon. Well, if you're saved, you did.
That's right.
you're saved, you've got it just exactly like we did. We heard the gospel, pricked in our hearts by the word of God, convicted of the Spirit. We repented and believed the gospel, and God saved us.
Right.
Don't you be trying. I know. Well, Sammy Allen told me we're both famous. We got Spirit filled with the double bridges up there on one of them roads. You know what I did? I went for a ride. I rode across the bridges. I said, Lord, this is where you've done it for Brother Fane. Would you do it for me? I rode across the first bridge, nothing happened. I rode in between the bridges, nothing happened. I said, it's going to happen on the second bridge. I got it all the way across that second bridge, nothing happened. God didn't tell me, God didn't touch me, God didn't speak to me. I read about where Brother Percy Ray, one day, he said he woke up one morning, the Holy Spirit told him to put a bandana around his neck. Okay.
Right.
He goes outside and somebody stops and says, all right, God woke me up this morning, told me I'd see a man wearing a bandana around his neck. Here's your $40,000 or $50,000 for you to camp me. He said, no. I couldn't get to the store fast enough to find a bandana. Am I the only one going to be honest enough about this?
Come on, come on.
You got
it. Come on. Yeah.
That's how we do, ain't it? Ain't that the truth?
Amen.
Am I preaching it right tonight? You know I am.
You're right, brother.
It's, boy, it's sure staying now. You got to be yourself. I was going to have been done 10 minutes ago, but I'm not. There's a strong, it's serious, buddy.
Right.
Serious. But then there's a sure foundation in verse number 37.
Amen.
He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Christ is the foundation of everything we have. And our salvation and in our spirituality.
Yeah.
It's him.
Good.
Three things in this phrase. He said, he that believeth on me, we need to take note of. He, that's us, that's me, that's whosoever is born again. Believe it, that's our faith, on me. The key word is on me, Christ, the foundation. But then there's a scriptural inspiration. Verse number 38, I love this part. This is the part about being spirit-filled that most Baptists don't want to admit, don't want to preach on, but he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. You know what, if I'm not, tell me. I got confidence enough in you, tell me. You know what? As up to now, at this point, this message tonight, I'm going to be able to go to the room, lay my head on my pillow with confidence, and I stay true to the scriptures tonight. I'm not going to have to call anybody.
That's right.
I used to be real insecure. I mean, bold, but insecure at the same time. First couple of years of my ministry, you ever been there? Bold, but insecure. That's dangerous, buddy. Very dangerous.
Yes, sir.
I get done preaching. I told the pastor. Pastor Greg lived in the I didn't say nothing wrong then.
Yeah.
One day God spoke to him. Said, if you preach the word of God, the Bible, you will never have to ask nobody.
That's right.
If you preach something wrong. And when you say something, so little of something somewhere, it just ain't scriptural. We're apt to do it, ain't
we? Sir.
Am I going to be the only one in the building that's going to be honest and say, you know what? I took the verse out of context before. I said something right. I preached something that was, I'm not talking about stuff that sent you to hell, but stuff that just lingers and nose on your face. That ain't the way it is.
Amen.
Right. You want an illustration? I was preaching the other day about joy. I said, you people ain't my joy. Jesus is my joy. I went to the room that night.
That's right, brother.
Said,
come on.
What Paul say when he's talking about grace? He said, ye are my joy.
Come on.
I called the pastor. Did you hear me? He said, what? Oh, good. You didn't hear it? Well, here's what I said. I found the error in my way. I was wrong.
Right. Amen.
We're flesh at our best, brother.
Yeah, sir.
By our best.
Right.
At our best, there is a scriptural inspiration. When we preach what thus saith the word of God. You know, I'm not a Facebook fanatic. I make one post a year. I got Facebook. I done it for two reasons. Well, three reasons. Number one, I've done it to spy on all you children that's got it.
Good.
Facebook stalker. Amen.
Amen.
We're watching anybody. You know, some churches, everybody's got Facebook, and other churches, none of them got Facebook. Y'all know what Facebook is? How many don't know what Facebook is? I was wanting to meet somebody tonight that didn't know what it was. And I got it to promote my son's business. And then I got it to put one post a year by Carmel Baptist County. Come on, be with us. Neighbor, I'm telling you right now, you'll lose your status. You get spirit filled.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what I was going to say, but I said all that for a reason. I'll remember it tonight about 2 o'clock in the morning. I guess that's the Lord's way of me moving on. As the scripture has said, scriptural doctrine. Scriptural. That last one, I'm done. There will be a spiritual manifestation. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. From the inside. From the inside,
right.
It'll be flowing now. There will be manifested in what? Verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, it'll be manifested in what we're feasting on. What are you feeding on? What do you eat? Are you eating the soap operas, feasting on the soap operas? Days of Our Lives? General Whorehoppers? You better grow up on that junk, man. If I tell y'all how I growed up, don't hold it against me. I really don't care anyways. I ain't ashamed. I'm even sorry. We growed up Southern Baptist as Southern Baptist could get. There was 2 ashtrays at every door at our church. Amen. I don't smoke, so don't look at me like that. The preacher would smoke his cigarette, put it out for him, and got in the pulpit. Some of y'all said, I can't believe that. Well, that happened. I was there. I seen it. And boy, I got sanctified. I smoked one too, amen. 6-7 years old, mama's pocketbook's missing. You know what Liz doing? Stealing somebody's cigarettes. I tell you how I growed up, neighbor. I growed up, if you rode in the back of my daddy's pickup truck and my mama and daddy both were in the front seat, you didn't sit on the tailgate behind daddy on the driver's side because you'd get a mouthful of tobacco juice. It ain't spit where I come from. It's juice, honey, okay? Some of y'all look at me like, you're so sanctified and holy and pharisaical that man can't tell you what. You didn't spit my food, amen. But they had John 3:16. My wife is so observant of me. She said, honey, when you stay behind the pulpit, you stay so focused. The minute you get off a platform and out of the pulpit, there ain't no telling what's coming out of your mouth. Hey, I don't even know. Scriptural. But the feast of it, I've said all that. So feast, what are you feasting on? You feasting on the carnal things of life? Right. We grew up so carnal. Grew up with the cigarettes. Grew up with the tobacco. Grew up, man, with the drinking. I mean, my dad was a deacon of the church. My mama played the organ. And we thought we was saved just because of that. The carnal things, the movies. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but I was there when the first Rocky came out. You know, never, I'm going to move on, okay? They drop us off at the movie theaters on Friday nights. That was how we spent our Friday nights. Carnal.
Yes,
immature. We feasted on it.
Right.
Feasted on every bit of it. I'm not promoting any of these things. And I hope you don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about carnal. But it might not be with the worldly movies. And it might not be with Facebook. And it might not be with Instagram. But would it be with gossip? And would it be with bitterness? And would it be with backbiting? And would it be with hatred? And would it be with envy? And would it be with jealousy? You got to get that junk out of your heart. And let God fill you with His Spirit.
That's right.
We feast blood, I sit back. I try to take a pen with me. I'm not perfect by any means, but I try to take a pen and a piece of paper with me to every message, every service I go to.
Yeah.
Because you're going to say something. It's going to get my attention.
That's right.
That's you might even make a statement. And I challenge you. I beg you. In the fly leaf of your Bible. A preacher makes a statement like this. The devil just doesn't want to annoy us. He wants to destroy us. Pastor Doug Graham said that. I wrote it in my Bible.
Yeah.
There's another one I got wrote in my Bible. Don't tell me how good of a Christian I am. Don't tell me how good of a preacher I am. Don't tell me how good of a prayer warrior I am. Tell me how to be a better one.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Don't tell me how good of a dad or a husband I am. Tell me how to be a better one. There's a script spiritually. It's manifested in what we feed on. If I come to you and I try to talk to you about a Bible verse, and you're out there in La La Land, and there's nothing there, but then I heard something about one of the brethren, and I come to you and I'm talking to you about some junk going on in our churches, and you're all ears and all eyes, and you can't wait to hear the next thing come out of my mouth. There's something wrong with you,
right? That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
What are you feasting on?
Right.
Come on.
I never forget when God dealt with me about my music. Did God deal with you about listening to the wrong kind of music?
Uh-oh.
He did me. I ain't been saved half a year, and the preacher's up preaching. He goes and gets a big old pot, borrowed it from me and my brother. He looked at me and said, you got an empty can of tobacco? I said, yeah, I'll find one. I brought him one. He asked, there's about five or six of us in there. He said, well, you boys got a pack of cigarettes, I need to borrow it. Well, he said, yeah, sure. He said, ain't got any country music tapes? Yeah, sure, here you go, preacher. Anything else you need? We didn't have to go to the trailer park to find it. It was in our trunk in the parking lot of the church.
Hello.
Well, we did have to scrape and scratch to find an empty bottle of whiskey. He's asked for all kinds of stuff. We didn't know. He said, y'all going to help me preach this coming Sunday? Well, he was baiting us in. He got a big old black pot. But he preached on poison in the pot. He pulled that can of tobacco out, and I said, oh, no, that's mine. Oh, he blistered it! Pulled them cigarettes out and blistered it. Pulled it out!
Right.
Blistered it. Pulled that country music tape out and blistered it. That sermon, that message was over with. We didn't ask for our stuff back. you keep it, preacher. I was throwing away my country tapes. I didn't know any better. Okay? So I said, I'm going to get rid of them. I have to replace them with some good gospel music. I didn't know any better, Pastor. I do now. I didn't know then. So I went to Roses over in Hendersonville. Y'all remember Roses? I walked down the tape aisle. Now you know they wasn't nothing. And there he was. George Jones, Gospel Greats. Praise the Lord, I found it. I bought it, buddy. There it was, Merle Haggard, Gospel Greats. Oh, yes! Don't tell nobody I said this one, but as I was walking out, oh, Elvis, how great thou art, got my attention. Buddy, I'd be going down the road and old George Jones would be saying, me and Jesus got our own thing going, me and Jesus got it all worked out. I later found out, thank God, that George Jones and Jesus didn't have nothing worked out. That man and I found out there's some poking of God and walk with God, and I got rid of all of it, and I quit feasting on the things of this world, and I started feasting on the things of God. Thank God for what God will feed his people through his word. Hey, I tell you, it's manifested in what you feed on.
Right.
There'll be a spiritual manifestation. He said, come unto me. It'll be manifested in who you're following. And we're following Christ. Are you really a follower of Christ?
Hello.
Are you? You got to follow Christ. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah.
May I make a scriptural statement right here? And I don't have to stand up here and give you 30 minutes of I don't believe in this easy prayerism junk, okay? If you ain't fishing, you ain't following.
Yeah. Right.
That's King James Bible. If you ain't trying to get somebody to God under the sound of the gospel, you ain't following God. Hey, but then he said, he that believeth, that's our faith. And then he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I refuse to let a child preach louder than I do. Amen. Rivers of living water. Tell her I love her, but I'm going to preach louder than her, okay? And that ain't going to offend nobody.
No, sir.
That baby girl's one of the best friends I ever had in my life.
God bless her. God bless that mama.
Yes. God bless her. Amen. You want me to hold her? You want me to hold you, honey? I love you, baby. I'm not trying to embarrass you, honey. I just love you. Hey. And it's multiple rivers, correct? I mean, how many? He said rivers plural. How many? Brother Zach, your Bible, student pastor, Murphy, your Bible, Brother Simpson, Brother John, Brother Tim. How many rivers are in this verse? I know there's more than what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to give you nine of them. Love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Let me ask you a Bible question. Do you have faith flowing out of you? Do you have goodness flowing out of you? Do you have temperance flowing out of you?
That'll work, brother.
Oh, glory to God. Do you have charity flowing out of you? Do you have hospitality flowing out of you? Do you have the rivers of God flowing out of you? Most of us ain't got nothing but bitterness and hatred. We're not spirit filled. But you are when you're filled with God.
Yeah.
Yes, one of those rivers will be a hatred for sin.
Right.
But a love for the sinner accompanies with it.
Yeah.
It's a great day. Living water. I don't have the strength in me to finish like I want to, but rivers of not dead, stagnant mud holes, but life. Are you dead tonight? Is there life in your service for God? Now look, 50 years ago, the message was how to live in the world. Live for God on the job. Live for God at the school. That was the message. 50 years ago, they didn't have to preach how you're supposed to go to church. Tonight, to our shame, let me preach to you on how you're supposed to go to church. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. With joy, with praise. When's the last time you were so excited about going to church you couldn't stand it? When I first got saved, brother, we'd get there an hour early, we'd stay 2 hours late.
Yeah.
If we had short service, we'd get mad. I'm glad y'all started at 6, because I've done got accustomed to these short services. And I'm not going to lie, I like them, okay? I'm just being honest. Go to church, sing 20 minutes, preach 30 minutes, and go home. If I was a pastor, that's the way I'd do it. I told my wife, I said, somebody said, what time did y'all get out of church? I said, well, we got out just a little bit before 9 last night. Man, that must be nice. I said, we started at 6. Come on. Y'all better laugh at my joke right there. Don't get me in trouble with a preacher. Amen. Thank you. I'm not offended that we started it at 6. Well, put it there, up on that. But boy, I tell you, the day we couldn't stay in church long enough.
Right. That's right.
We'd go to work, brother. I had the old Gideon New Testament Bible in my back pocket. Every time I got tempted to do something I wasn't supposed to, I'd pull my Bible out.
That'll work. Right. That'll work.
It's the only way you're going to overcome them addictions.
That's right. That's right.
Every time I never forget, I stuck my finger in a bolt hole one day. I hadn't been saved long. I mean, I hadn't been saved long at all. And I told everybody I got saved. Stuck my finger in a bolt hole, and the guy was trying to line it instead of sticking a bar in there. Stuck my finger in there. The guy moved it, and I'm bleeding out the end of my finger. I backed up, and I cussed. I said a curse word in front of everybody I've been witnessing to. I had something happen to me that day that had never happened. I felt horrible. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you what. I said, I got to go, boy. And I wasn't going to the bathroom to wrap my finger up. I was going around back where there wasn't nobody looking, cry my eyes out, and ask Jesus to forgive me. And I said, Lord, would you give me another chance to make it up? I don't want to cuss in front of them men. Next day, different bolt, whole different finger. He gave me another chance. And boy, I reared back. Oh, my face was red. And all right, preach it like you did yesterday, Brother John. Having a good preaching. I wasn't a preacher yet. And I said, you know what? Thank God for a pair to cut and blind the blade. It's coming out of you. Filthiness. Don't look at me like that. It don't matter. You, and I'm not for going back. I ain't going back. I don't want to go back. I'm satisfied, satisfied, satisfied.
Amen.
Jesus. But if we did, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't know if you've ever done it, you tell me about it, so I don't know. But if we was to go back to tonight, me and you say, let's throw in the towel and let's quit. God forbid we did.
Oh, God forbid.
Let's head back down here to the bar somewhere, pull up. Oh, it wouldn't be the same.
No, sir, it would not.
You know how bad we'd feel just pulling in the parking lot?
Right.
What, our mother? Go out there and order one up, buddy. It won't taste the same.
No, sir.
That's right.
It won't feel the same. It won't be the same. Sir.
Glory to God.
Can I testify?
Please.
Promise you won't hold this against me. It happened. We struggled. Boy, we got to save this out of a mess. I told all my buddies, I'm not drinking anymore. I don't do it. You come, you want to hang out and go. They taught me one night. I hadn't been saved. I don't even know if I've been saved a month. They said, John, we're going to go down here to White Horse Saloon, Greenville, South Carolina. You want to go with me? I ain't going. I'm saved. Well, you don't have to drink. You can come be our designated driver. That's a Christian thing to do.
That's right.
I wish I would have never said yes to that. So we go down there. I'm a designated driver. Don't look at me like this. You're going to
come on. Come on, brother. Come on.
I go up in that place. Am I being too honest with y'all?
No, you good.
Come on. Lord. If I am, I'll sit down. I mean, you can get somebody you've never seen to preach for you. Okay? I won't need it. Brother, we go in there, and I tell the Holy Spirit, you ain't right, you ain't right, you ain't right. Okay, we're going there, and we're all doing our dancing, doing our drink. Hey, Morgan, you want a beer? Nope. Ah, oh, we know what you like. I ordered a shot. Shot of whiskey. I said, that's what you like, man. That's what I got to get out of here. Ah, we ain't done. So I'll be back. I left that shot down on that table. I went to the bathroom. I said, Jesus, I'm so sorry.
That's right.
I am so, so sorry.
Amen.
You'll let me make it out of here alive. I promise you. I'll never do this again.
Amen.
I went back up to them boys and I said, look, I gotta go. Oh, no, man. I said, I'm leaving. With or without you, I'm leaving. And they said, well, what about your shot? You need to drink it. I went over and I picked that shot last night. And I raised it up under peer pressure. When that stuff got close to my mouth where I could smell it real good, I slammed it back down on the table. That whiskey went everywhere. So I looked at them boys and I said, hey, I done let y'all talk me into coming down here. I got saved a month ago. I don't belong here.
Amen.
Who hears it? I'm a child of God, amen, and I'm going home. I know it's your car, but the keys are in my pocket. If you want to ride, let's go.
Amen.
Right.
Sanctifying work God does in a heart of a believer. Serious business, but you know, and in the middle of a stupid bar, and it didn't have to be that way.
Right.
I'm up testifying about the grace of God. It's different now, boys. I can't drink it.
Yeah.
God ain't gonna let me do it.
That's right.
Well, I might make myself quit preaching. I've had a wonderful time. I'm at liberty. Whoever prayed God touch me, I'm asking you to do it again tonight.
That'll work.
Matter of fact, do it till you go to heaven, okay?
Amen. Yes. That'll work, brother.
And when you get to heaven, I don't know. You think Brother Sammy's up there asking God to touch count me? Trying to trade pocket knives with Jesus, I don't know.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that, but I did. You want to have a time of prayer? I don't want to be offensive. I give them a taste. I know some people don't.
No, brother.
Is that all right with you, Pastor? Let's stand all over the building.
Amen.
Sister, if you don't take me to pray, if you feel like you need to pray, get on your own. Pray something for me now, please.
Amen.
Y'all step with your heart about anything. You talk about the scatteredness. Message I think I've ever preached. You heard it tonight. If anybody can build a sheep against one.